You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour in this Thursday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show, keeping an eye on the U.S. Open. They had a fog delay, a marine layer at Torrey Pines. The U.S. Open, the major that forgives no one, rewards greatness from Torrey Pines. All this weekend on NBC, also on Golf Channel, and streaming on Peacock. Poll question today, McLovin, for the final hour.
Okay, so the first 2 hours was who is going to regret blowing their opportunity? 76ers are number one on the list. What if we switch the question? Who's most likely to actually come back and win their series? The Sixers, the Jazz, or the Bucks? And I have a choice.
Wow. Okay, that's a better question. All right, you can give your answer.
I think the Sixers have a great chance of winning, believe it or not. Because, sure. I don't know, I still feel like they're the better team. If they can get up by 26, you said, just take Ben off the court in the foul shooting phase of the game.
He doesn't even attempt shots anymore. So he can't shoot. He has no three-point range. He has no mid-range jumper. And if he takes it to the hoop, he knows he gets fouled. Therefore, he doesn't want to go to the free throw line. He's shooting at a historically low percentage from the free throw line. 22 of 67 in the playoffs, he's shooting 32% from the line. You can't have the guy who has the ball in his hands and is supposed to be your second best player who you can't give the ball to, or he doesn't want the ball because he's worried that he might get fouled. Yeah, McLovin.
By the way, Reggie Miller threw out on social media, maybe the Nets should sit Durant and Harden in game six and totally gear up for game seven. He's not saying they definitely should do it, but he said it's a question worth exploring.
Yeah, Twitter didn't act too kindly to Reggie when he said that. But I think at some point tonight, let's say the Bucks are up by 12 halfway through the fourth quarter. Then I think Steve Nash might have a decision to make of, do I shut it down with Kevin Durant and or James Harden, and then we load up for game seven. The Utah Jazz, look, I know you don't have Mike Conley, but you should still be winning a game at home. Now, Donovan Mitchell still bothered by that ankle, but they came out, they were unbelievable in the first half. But I give credit to the role players with the Clippers, Ty Lue, and certainly Paul George with what Paul George did offensively and rebounding as well. And that was an impressive performance. As for the Hawks and the Sixers, it just felt like the Sixers ran out of gas and the Hawks did not let up. And I think when you're down 26, there's that, you know what, let's just regroup and we'll go home and then we'll try to win game six. You know, the Hawks are a young team. They don't know any better. The Sixers act like an older team. Here's Trae Young on one of the biggest comebacks in NBA playoff history.
When you talk about an underdog for a team that has no all-stars, no all-defensive players, no all-NBA players, this team is fighting. We're in the second round of the playoffs. I think we've just had that chip on our shoulder all year, just being overlooked and just having that underdog mentality. We're playing with that chip on our shoulder right now, and guys are continuing to do that. We're going to need them to keep it up.
So the Hawks beat the Sixers up 3-2. Clippers over the Jazz up 3-2. Tonight, Nets at the Bucks. That'll be game six. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at DP Show. There may not be a less likely path to Rookie of the Year than the one LaMelo Ball followed. He's been famous, infamous, since he was a little kid. Videos circulating of him taking ridiculously long threes against bigger kids. He got a famous sports dad, or infamous sports dad, an NBA brother. Instead of playing college basketball, he played overseas. And no matter what you make of Ball when he was taken number three by the Hornets, he quickly showed that he belonged. The numbers were impressive. He averaged over 15 and a half, almost six rebounds, six assists per game. And he helped the Hornets win. Voters didn't hold his 21-game absence. He had that wrist injury. And we thought he might have been done for the rest of the regular season. But he plays hard. He plays with creativity. I love watching him. He's one of my favorite players to watch. And I'm not keen on his dad. I wish his dad would let his kids be kids. But he's laying low as of late. But I'm, you know, congrats to LaMelo Ball. I know that Anthony Edwards sent out an emoji. Basically, this is going to come back and haunt you guys who didn't vote for me for Rookie of the Year. He had a good season. He just didn't, you know, you're not making the playoffs. It's a bad team. And, you know, the fact that LaMelo plays for Michael Jordan's team and they make the playoffs, he wasn't even starting at the beginning of the year. And then he forced his way in, and I thought he handled himself well. And he looked very comfortable there. And he's not afraid to take it to the hoop, not afraid to take a big shot. And he has that ability that his brother has to find the open man. He's just a better shooter than his brother is. And plus, you get highlights. A lot of this has to do with social media. I mean, when you think about today's athletes, you know, when we were growing up, you might get a chance to stay up late to watch a game. Now, all right, so what if I didn't get a chance to stay up late to watch a game? I got social media. I can get all of these highlights, and that's what they are. They're clips. They're highlights. And LaMelo's built for that. Like, the Joker is not built for that. That's where, you know, you get old guys who are voting on this, staying up late, and they watch all the games. They're voting on this, and the Joker played every game this year and put up impressive numbers. But this highlight culture that we're in, and it's really social media highlight cultures, because, look, I carved out a career thanks to the highlight culture when I was at SportsCenter. Now what you're finding is with younger fans, they just wait till the morning. I can get everything on my phone. I don't have to watch SportsCenter. I don't have to watch in an hour to get, you know, highlights of my favorite team. Yeah, Paulie?
I've seen 50 LaMelo Ball highlights this year. I've never seen 1 minute of Charlotte Hornets basketball. No one's going to watch a game of the Charlotte Hornets. Hey, well, you do that.
You're I do that.
You're
Yes. I probably watch more bad basketball than anybody, but I think the Hornets are good. But I have a soft spot in my heart for the Sacramento Kings. I do. I don't know why, but I do.
31-41, they're up and coming.
Yeah. For the last 15 years. Yes, McLovin.
Yeah, you're that one lunatic who was watching the Hornets preseason when you started the LaMelo
That's true.
Ball
that
bandwagon.
That is true.
And you were the only one on it for a few weeks,
That is true. I remember being on the Trae Young bandwagon when he played a game. I think he had 40 or 44, and that was early in the year. And I just remember going, this guy is Steph Curry. He's Steph Curry reincarnated.
But I feel it was even more contrarian of you to be on the LaMelo Ball bandwagon because there was so much baggage with him coming into this season. You know,
yeah,
people were not optimistic.
Yeah, but I just assess it. I have to get clear the debris out of there. That, okay, he didn't want to go to college. Okay. He played in Lithuania and Australia, I believe. You factor in his dad, factor in his brother. I mean, he came over a more mature product than he would have if he had gone to college. But there's no denying when you watch him on the floor. I mean, that's the litmus test. What you see when somebody's on the floor. It doesn't matter what you were. Hey, in college, I was this. Or when I played overseas, I was this. No. What do you do when you get on the floor? And he got on the floor, and he made things happen. And he was really exciting to watch. All right, we'll get to more phone calls coming up. Oh, the Madden video game cover is... I don't think they shot this prior to the Super Bowl. Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes sitting next to one another. They're sharing the cover of Madden 22, the MVP edition. Yeah, see.
Ironically, not showing the reigning MVP.
Ooh, okay. All right.
And I think he's upset about that.
Do you?
I think that he saw that and he was like, oh, okay. All right, Madden. Okay. EA Sport. Okay. All right. Fine.
Brett. Noted.
Did you see Aaron Rodgers when he was on a Zoom call and they're promoting this golf match, the match, and he had a T-shirt that said, I'm offended? I don't know what he's up to, but he might be this mad scientist, or he's just having some fun here. But I don't know. Did you buy the shirt for the Zoom call, or did you already have that? That might have been where his fiance goes, hey, I got a great t-shirt. Yeah, what is it? It's called I'm Offended. Ooh, I love that. Yeah, let me put that on. I'll still go back to what I've been saying about this situation. Jay Glazer, I don't know what show he was on yesterday, but Jay had a quote where he said, look, Aaron still wants out. Aaron Rodgers still wants out of Green Bay. And then Jay Glazer said, teams should keep calling. Okay, at what point does Aaron Rodgers say, yes, I do want out, and then you could go to your new team? Because that, to me, is what I'm trying to understand the logic for Aaron Rodgers. You know, the Packers don't have to trade him. And if I'm the Packers, I don't trade him. If I was going to, then I would have traded him prior to the draft. Then I have 8 to 10 teams who are going to be bidding on him. Now I got the Raiders and I got the Broncos. And the longer this goes, the less I'm going to offer for Aaron Rodgers. Now, next spring, when you get ready for the draft again, you want to put him out there on the open market, then you might get, but then I'm going to take my chance. Does Aaron Rodgers want to play? Will he sit out? Can I get money back from him? If I know that the relationship is not repairable, then I want my money back with the signing bonus. Like, I go scorched earth on this. At some point, I have to do that as a franchise. But if I'm Aaron Rodgers, at some point, really soon, I want to start to learn that my teammates, my new teammates' names and a system. Yeah, Paul.
But aren't the Packers in a weird position where if Aaron Rodgers plays really well next year and they're 13-3 and they're a contender for the Super Bowl, are you going to trade him then? And because he's worth a lot. He'll be worth a lot, even for his age of, I think, 38. But let's say the Packers somehow went 7-9 and missed the playoffs, and Rodgers has a down year for him. 30 touchdowns and 8 picks.
7-10, Paulie,
oh, yes.
Or 8-9.
Remember that in a couple years.
17 game.
But if he's down, he's not as tradable because he's old and downward spiral.
I can't imagine he's going to go, I hate these guys in the front office or this one person, and this is the reason why I was in, you know, incommunicado with the front office. Like, wouldn't you do that 3 months ago and just say, here's the deal. Like, I don't want to play. And I think it's best for both sides, both parties, that we move on. You know, no hard feelings. I wish Jordan Love well. I love the fan base. I love the tradition. I love everything about this place. But you decided to move on. I can't get past that. And you want to have Jordan Love? Have Jordan Love. He's a good kid. I wish him well. But I'll go someplace else. Like, that's the approach I would think grown-ups have. But then, I've never been accused of being a grown-up, so maybe I don't have. My logic is flawed here. Yes, McLovin.
By the way, do you see that Derek Carr quote about how he wants to be a Raider for life? I don't know if you saw that. Like,
I did.
I mean,
I think that's where he's saying, like, what happens if he gets traded?
He wants to be a Washington football teamer for life.
Yeah, but like he wants to be a Raider for life. What happens if something happens there? Yes, Tom.
Does Gruden hear that comment and go, ooh, I better have a conversation with our quarterback? He's got long-term plans and I don't.
Seton, I think we should get a t-shirt just to say, I'm a complicated fella. And we always do well with the Aaron Rodgers t-shirts.
We do.
Yeah, how about a
complicated yeah. fellow t-shirt.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm complicated.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that would work. Yeah, I'm a club.
The reason I brought up Carr is, can you picture Aaron Rodgers in a Raiders uniform? You keep pointing out, there's 2 months to the season. How is it possible to go to another team now?
I don't know, but that's why I keep thinking, if I'm the Packers, I don't trade him because, you know, what's the other option? I fire my GM? Well, that's not happening. But at some point, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I want to go public with this and say, yes, I do want out. Because as of now, all we hear are people who speak for him. Let's take a break. 15 after the hour, your phone calls are up next. This is the Dan Patrick Show. This Level Select CBD sports creams and roll-ons, if you go play golf, you work out, prior to working out, after you work out, It's great. Incredible relief. And this is from Cadenwood. They're the leaders in CBD. Pros on top of their game. You got Ricky Fowler, who uses it. Baseball legend Steve Garvey. The former great quarterback Carson Palmer all use Level Select CBD. And you don't have to be a professional athlete to appreciate the relief that you get, because it works. And our newest sponsor, Level Select CBD, is offering you, our listeners, a great deal. Get Level Select CBD or any of their other CBD products for 30% off. You go to levelselectcbd.com and make sure you use the promo code DAN30. Then you get 30% off your entire order. So levelselectcbd.com, promo code DAN30, and make sure you try out these sports creams and roll-ons. Instant relief. Never stop playing with Level Select CBD, not available in Idaho, Iowa, and South Dakota. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Get some phone calls in here. By the way, it's a Meat Thursday. We have tomorrow off. Grilled ribeye steaks are on the Traeger and barbecue chicken nachos. In fact, just went out there and we had to take the barbecue chicken nachos off the Traeger. Well, we didn't have to, but Paulie and I made a decision.
We didn't want them to burn.
Yes, that's what we said. We don't want these to burn. We better take them off and try them. Meat Friday, and make sure you get a Traeger wood pellet grill. Father's Day sale, Traeger.com/DP Show, and you can score a free ultimate grill bundle worth $150 purchase of select grills. Save $100 on select grills at your local dealer. A couple of phone calls. Jeff in Detroit leads us off. Hi, Jeff. What's on your mind today?
What up, though? They say that silly and goofy guys make great dads. By that metric, you guys are father of the year, baby.
You guys are
really good. Shout out to my guy, Tilly in Bloomington, had a message for you. He can't call in as much as he would like to, but he rocks with you guys every day. He loves you guys, and he misses you guys. My question, Dan, well, my statement to you is this, Dan. There's no more hated team in the playoffs right now or when the playoffs started than the Brooklyn Nets. And I say this because they had an article saying that they were a hit squad. It's more like a quit squad. Harden quit on the Rockets. Blake quit on the Pistons. Irving quit on the Celtics. Durant quit on OKC. You will find nobody that really is not – I mean, we're rooting for the Bucks tonight. And I'm just hoping that they take this goodwill and cash in on it. I really and truly do, because I would hate to see them win.
Thank you, Jeff. Have a great weekend. We appreciate you calling. Carl in Arizona. Hey, Carl, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan, quick question. June 17th, 1994, game five between your Knicks and, well, not your Knicks, but the Knicks and the Rockets, of course, the O.J. Bronco chase. Where were you? What was going through your mind as a reporter? And how do you look back at it being the so-called anniversary of such a busy day in the world of sports and in news?
All right. Well, thank you, Carl. 1994 on this day, O.J. Simpson leading the police on a two-hour, 60-mile low-speed chase, national TV. You had the NBA Finals going on. I'm at Madison Square Garden, and since I was in TV, a TV reporter, anchor, they didn't give us seats on the floor and in the building. So we're watching on monitors in the back where the press room was. And all of a sudden, there's two monitors, and that's for at the end of the game when players come in and they'll have the monitors up there and you'll be able to hear in the back. Well, the game is on both monitors. And then next thing you know, we see a white Ford Bronco heading down the highway in Los Angeles. And the sound is down, so I don't know what's happening here, but it's breaking news. And then all of a sudden, everybody is surrounding the monitor in the back in the press room, and we turn up the sound, and we realize OJ is in there, in the back, and his former teammate, AJ Cowlings, is driving, and there are police behind him. And you're just trying to process this. And I talked to a member of the media at halftime. And he was friends with OJ. And I, my job was, my boss said at the time, my boss at the time is John Walsh. And John said, because I didn't know what our job was then, because I was there to do interviews after the game. And he said, see if you can get this person, or this person to go on record and talk about what's going on with OJ. And I asked three people that he asked me to see if they would give me a comment, and they didn't want to be on record with OJ Simpson. One famously told me, and I won't tell you his name, but I said, you know, can you talk about OJ? Can you get, would you sit down and let me ask you a couple of questions? And the person who works in the media said, no, I don't want to, but you know, he used to abuse, you know, Nicole all the time. And like it just, it still stays with me. I know where I am in the garden when I'm being told this. And then you realize, you know, and I've been around OJ before. And he was pleasant. He was the life of the party. He would talk to people. People, you know, you gravitated towards him. He was very, very famous. USC, Buffalo Bills, then went in the media. He was in movies. But I just, it stayed with me. It still stays with me. That one answer from this person. And we never talked about this. This person in the media. We've never discussed that day again. And I don't know why. I've been around him, and I don't know why I didn't bring it up. But then I don't know what I'm getting out of that. It was like morbid curiosity of how did this go on for such a long period of time and nobody helped that woman? And that's what I come away from it going, my God, this was happening. And our, you know, the public perception of OJ was pristine. And then you realize that those who knew him knew a completely different person. I did an interview with OJ that I've talked about on the air. And this is when USC is playing, I think, Iowa in the Orange Bowl. And I convinced my bosses to let me set up an interview with OJ to talk about football. Because at the time, did I think he murdered those two people? Yes, I did. But he got away with it. Do we care about his opinion? So this is 2003, and I sat down with him. Was it Coconut Grove, I believe, is where I am?
Yep. At a hotel, like a ballroom, right?
Yeah. And he came in with one other person, and he looked fragile. Like he's still a big guy, but he was kind of, you know, he was bent over a little bit. And, you know, that's where we sat down. And my camera crew, I brought a camera crew, and then we rented another camera crew locally. And so we had, it's called a two-camera shoot. So they would shoot me when I'm asking the question, shoot OJ, you know, with his answers. And the camera crew that I just met there said, we don't have to shake his hands. And I go, no, you don't. He goes, wait, well, okay, we don't want to. When he comes in the room, we're not greeting him, just so we don't want to be rude to you. And I said, look, I have to because I'm inviting him here. He's a guest. I invited him. And I said, did you guys, like, have you had a run-in with him or what is it? And they said, well, first of all, what happened with the trial? He got away with murder. Second of all, this camera crew was with OJ in Mexico, and they were shooting some kind of TV show or a pilot for a TV show. And they said that he was fascinated with these knives that the Navy SEALs used. And I don't know if it ever got made, but it was, I think, about the Navy SEALs. And this is right before the murders. And this camera crew was talking about how OJ joked about the knives, but he loved the knife you got as a Navy SEAL. What was the name of the show, Paulie?
It was called Frogmen. It was a pilot that never got picked up, and yeah. it was being worked on just in the months before the murders.
Yeah. But those things just resonate. And that's when I did the interview, and we did probably 25 minutes. And then we were going to stop and change tapes. And then we were going to do the second part of the interview. And at no point did I bring up the double murder. But when we stopped that first time and they were putting a new tape in, and then there was awkward silence. And he said, "Do you think I did it?" And I don't know what was going through my mind, but I said, "Did what?" Because I wanted him to say what he did. And he said, "Kill those two people." And I said, "Yes." And then there's silence. And then my cameraman says, "We're ready to roll." We did the interview, talked football. And then at the end of the interview, he kept trying to convince me that he never did it and that I should understand his life. He said, "I was just in Vegas and I'm walking down the hall. They're shooting a porno movie. They want me to be in a porno movie." Imagine that. They want OJ to be in a porno movie. And I'm thinking, well, that'd be a great score for those trying to do a porno movie. But he wanted to tell me what his life was all about and how he could never have committed that crime. But I didn't engage with him. I didn't come back and say, "But what about this?" or "What about this?" or "What about this?" And I remember when he left and he walked out, I just thought he looked like a sad man, like a pathetic man. I mean, I see him now, social media. He's like, "Hello, Twitter world." Seton does his impersonation there.
"Hello, Twitter world. Yeah. It's me, your old pal, OJ. Are you excited for the U.S. Open?"
Yeah.
Like, I know juices.
Yeah. But it seems like he's got a pretty good life now because he's always playing golf and he's probably getting his pension somehow. I mean, he's not paying off that money, that civil suit, but that was a bad, bad decision on my part to think that. And I don't know if we ever aired the interview. I don't think we aired it. And rightfully so. But I, man. Yeah, Paul.
If you haven't gone back and watched the Bronco chase in a while, the NBC coverage, it's fascinating because, remember, there's no social media. So the only way people in Los Angeles were to find out would be their radios as they were driving or home when it broke into coverage on TV. But the first, like, half hour of the Bronco chase, there's not really any cops around. There's not really any people around. There's not any helicopters around. And then here come the helicopters. And then there's six cop cars behind them. And then, you know, in L.A., you go past overpass over overpass.
Yes, yes.
The people are crowding the overpass. People had time to make signs.
Yeah.
This is, you know, not like a three-day
affair. They're cheering O.J. on.
There's people chasing. There's people in other cars riding, waving out the window, trying to get pictures. And there's no cell phone cameras at the time. So social media wasn't stirring. This was just radio and TV. But it's fascinating to see people running down the street and chasing and holding signs.
Let me take a break here. Because I don't want to try to make that transition back to phone calls here. But we'll take a break. And if you're watching on Peacock, got the Traeger grills fired up. So we'll show you what we're cooking for today. We'll take a break. Back up to this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Close up shop as we always do. Well, not always on a Thursday, but we're off tomorrow. It's a meat Friday. This goes out to all of us fathers out there. Have a great weekend. You know, I was talking about that O.J. Simpson interview. I completely blocked this from my mind, which kind of goes in line with O.J. Simpson doing the same thing. But I didn't realize that they made it a one-hour special. This is back in December of 2001, McLevin?
Yeah, but you know, you were saying USC-Iowa in the few quotes I saw were not football related. They were some football related, but they were also about his current lifestyle. Is it possible you interviewed him twice?
I can honestly tell you that I don't remember anything about that interview except for when the camera wasn't rolling. Prior to when they stopped filming and then at the very end. But I'm looking at questions that I supposedly asked him about first year after the trial, how often the trial's brought up by others, how the media covers him, does he feel like he lives in his own prison, does he want his Heisman Trophy back?
I seem to remember you talking to him twice, Dan, because when we worked together, you talked to him in New York City. And that may have been different. I remember you talking to him.
Okay.
Maybe it was two parts of the same interview, but I remember you talking to him in Miami that you told me about.
Yeah.
And then I think you also talked to him in New York City on a short notice interview.
God, I just don't
remember. It's in a dark room with like, it's an indoor room, like a hotel room or something. That the clip I'm seeing the image.
Yeah, I truly do not remember doing this. Wow. Yeah, it says OJ responding to Dan Patrick's question whether he cares about public opinion. At this point, no. I think I care about the opinions of the people who know me, people who are around me, and people who see me. I truly do not remember. God, that's scary. Yeah, it was an hour-long special. And this had to be later than 1993-94 because the murders were 1994. I'm absolutely baffled on this. Absolutely. Yeah, Todd.
I would think you would have had to have asked some of those questions even if you don't remember them. Imagine airing what the backlash would be if post what happened to do an interview and just talk to OJ about his sports.
Well, this is, I must have interviewed him twice because the other one was football. And we said that we wanted to talk to him about football and his memories. You know, he was one of the greatest football players I ever saw. What he did in Buffalo when he gained 2,000 yards, 14-game season. Like, I do not remember this. Don't remember this. All right, some phone calls here. We close up shop. KO in Georgia joins us. Hey, KO.
5'11". 208 pounds of twisted steel.
Wow.
Right. I want to make a bet with you, and I also have a stat of the day.
All right. Let's do the stat of the day first. What music do you? Well, here it is.
Vladimir Guerrero Jr. III. Has hit 18 home runs since Arizona Diamondbacks last won a road game.
That's 22 consecutive road losses for Arizona, tying the major league record. All right, well done, KO. The last time the Diamondbacks won a road game was April 25th. All right, now what's the bet?
I want to bet that Phil Mickelson will not make the cut. Now, you're going to be a big, heavy favorite in this bet, so I'm going to want the world.
Well, wait, what's the world?
I want to be a Danette for a day.
No, you're not going to be a Danette for a day.
All right, well, what you want? What do you want to do then?
I don't want to do anything. I mean, I does anybody want a piece of KO here and that Phil Mickelson doesn't make the cut?
Shower of shame.
How about a pie to the face?
Anybody?
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 Wow. Seton just hung up on KO. Yeah, you know, we're...
Anyone?
Yeah, no one.
Anyone?
Sorry, KO.
Sorry, buddy.
Yes, Paul.
There's a lot of money on Mickelson. I think some of the bet places are saying that most of the money is on Rahm, Mickelson, riding the wave, you know?
Yeah. Well, I don't know about John Rahm going into this tournament.
He's 10-1. Dustin Johnson 16-1. I got Bryson 18-1. Brooks Koepka 18-1. Got to go down a little bit to get a fill.
I was thinking Colin Morikawa. That would be my choice. And I, you know, and Brooks Koepka too. Although that's not a long shot, but I was just thinking if like this kind of plays into Brooks Koepka's hands that he loves what's going on here with DeChambeau, and he came close, at the PGA, and I don't know. I mean, I don't know if this fits his eye. You know, these courses where you go, yeah, this is the course for him. But if Phil makes the cut, great. Is golf in good hands now? I just wondered that. That you have DeChambeau, and there's always that curiosity. Tiger's off the map. Jordan Spieth has had a decent year. Phil, but, you know, do you want to rely on a 51-year-old? It's been an interesting season. I'll put it that way. But I would certainly love to see Koepka and DeChambeau. Like, part of me doesn't want them to play together, that they might play nice with each other and you know, sort of form a truce. I like that there's a little friction there. Yeah, Seton.
Yeah, I mean, I know people want them to start playing, want them to be paired together right away, but don't you want to wait until Sunday for that?
Yeah.
And just watch.
Yeah.
Man, that'd be fun.
That'd be great.
Man, that'd be a lot of fun.
Because Phil and Tiger didn't get along. I mean, I think they respected each other, but I think that there was, Tiger wanted to crush everybody. Yes, Eden.
I love to, but like they were at least able to stay respectful to each other publicly. These two dudes are like,
I don't like him.
Zero patience.
I want him to know that I don't like him, and I don't care if anybody doesn't like me because I don't like him.
It's great.
Ryan in Honolulu. Hey, Ryan, what's on your mind today?
Aloha, Dan.
Hey, Ryan.
Wow, I mean, Arcade Fire, heavy OJ story, hanging up on the last guy. You're really raising my degree of difficulty to make you laugh, aren't you?
Okay. What do you have a limerick today?
I do. I have two limericks. I didn't book any guests today, but I'm hoping you'll still hear my limericks.
Okay. You book one less guest than Todd did today.
That's not
so
too bad.
Not necessary. Not necessary.
Happy Father's Day, Todd. Okay, Ryan, go ahead.
The front row has great chemistry. Stat of the day, and this day in sports history. The front row's united, the back row's divided. Seton and Pauly live in Todd's head rent-free.
Okay. All right, one more limerick there.
All right. There's a guy in the front row named Seton. In summer, his forehead takes a beating. He's no redneck, but his redneck's a wreck. Dan, let's wrap it up and get meat eating.
Thank you, Ryan. Have a good weekend there, Ryan. I said to Seton, you're going to soccer matches this weekend? He said, yes. He says, I'm going to wear sunblock or what? I said, wear a hat.
You should wear a Miracle Whip. He needs like Kevlar.
Yeah, the move, I'm going to go, not the spray this time. I'm going to do the actual, you know,
yes.
Get it in there.
Put mayonnaise on your face.
Yeah.
Hellman's. Melissa in West Virginia. Hi, Melissa. What's on your mind today?
Dan and everybody. Hello, Danettes. I just want to say that it's awesome to get to listen to you guys on the radio because we have DirecTV, and they took the channel off the channel lineup with your all show, so I've missed it. But I've been listening to you guys now for maybe about 2 or 3 weeks, and it's just great to hear the camaraderie and the humor and the seriousness like you just were talking about, OJ. I was in college when that happened. I had just finished my first year at college, and I transferred to come home to go to a school nearby because I was homesick. But, yeah, I remember that whole thing, and I was taking criminal justice classes. I have a Bachelor of Science degree in criminal justice. So it was just wild that something like that was in the news, and it brought to light how serious domestic violence is for both parties, because sometimes men, you know, get beat up too, but in this case it was a woman and her friend, and there was children involved.
Yeah.
So it was pretty serious. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Melissa. Thank you for the phone call. Download the Peacock app, and you can watch for free all 3 hours. Maybe it's better to just listen and imagine what it looks like in here. Because we are far more handsome on radio. We are. Jesse in L.A. Hey, Jess.
Hey, DP.
Hey, bud.
Hey, DP. Hey, bud. The best part about the O.J., anything O.J. related is hearing Seton's juice impersonation. It's just too damn good. In reference to the O.J. at UCLA during a football rivalry week with USC, there's a plethora of creative college T-shirts, as you can imagine. But the best one I've seen is one that has a character of O.J. with his glove on and a knife. It's kind of violent. But he's doing a Heisman pose that reads the phrase, "Don't drink O.J., the juice will kill you."
All right. Well, thank you, Jess. Yeah, I mean, we don't mean to make light of it because it's very, very serious. And I make light of him and who he is. But at that time at Madison Square Garden, when you're trying to process this, and even the press conference afterwards, I think Howard Stern had Stuttering John get into the press conference that night. And I think he asked a O.J. Simpson question to Pat Riley, if memory serves me correctly. But then I don't even remember sitting down and asking O.J. some of these questions. This day in sports history, Paulie, aside from the white Bronco
team. I'm going to hand this off to Perloff, who is a big fan of the 76ers. It was one of the great days, I think, in 76ers history. What else could it be?
Well, there's two terrible days in 76ers. Three. Last night, in 1985 or so, or 86, when they traded Moses Malone for Jeff Rulin and the number one pick for Roy Hinson, the day that ruined the franchise. And 1992, when they traded Charles Barkley to the Suns for Hornacek, Perry, and Lang.
Oh, that's right. That was on this day when Charles got traded.
I don't even remember why they did it. Was he?
I think he wanted out.
Yeah, it must have been.
Suns got good right away.
Sixers, I don't think, ever really recovered.
No. Final results of the poll question, McLeod.
Okay, who is most likely to come out of their 2-3 hole and win the second round series? The Jazz are running away with it, and then the Sixers, and then the Bucks.
Yeah, but you got to go to L.A. now. Can they win there? But I don't know Kawhi Leonard's status. And if, you know, Woj is correct, as he normally is, then Kawhi might not be playing. And if they get out of this series, might not be playing after that as well. Let's go around the room what we learned on this program. Todd, I'll start with you.
Chris Sims, not big on new Lions QB. Jared Goff has him ranked 31st among his top quarterbacks, three rookies ahead of him.
I thought that he had him lower than 31. I thought it was like 33. Like, he wasn't even one of the top 32 or something like
that? I think the Bronco quarterbacks were 32 and 33.
Oh, okay. McLovin, what did you learn?
Yeah, Sims has not gotten a good reaction to Tom Brady at number 10.
God. Seton, what did you learn today?
Yeah, Chris Sims wants all the smoke.
Yes, he does.
Sure does.
Not afraid. Paulie, what did you learn today?
2 years ago today, Kevin Costner told me to go fuck myself. Sorry.
Wait, what are you doing?
Wow.
What? Sorry,
my bad. I mean, he did tell you that.
My bad.
What the heck? Happy effing Father's Day.
My bad.
That's what I learned. What we learned brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. They go far beyond from their customization options, cutting-edge tech, five-star sales service, financial support crew. Go the extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Our pleasure to serve you. Thank you. Have a great weekend. Happy Father's Day to everybody. We'll talk to you on Monday right here on the Dan Patrick Show. One more item. We close out the show. Looking for a job is a full-time job. That's why look no further than ZipRecruiter, because ZipRecruiter is going to make it easier for you. Takes a lot of that stress. You know that your resume is going to end up in somebody's hands. It's not going to get lost in the sea of applicants there. ZipRecruiter gets it. They figured out a way to make the job search process better and easier. When you sign up on ZipRecruiter.com, you create a free profile. They will then get you matched to great jobs, but also a whole lot more, because ZipRecruiter will proactively pitch your profile to employers whose jobs match your experience. Unlike other job sites, if an actual person from the company really likes what they see, they can personally invite you to apply to their job. ZipRecruiter is the number one rated job site in the United States. So what are you waiting for? If you want an easier job search, sign up for free right now at ZipRecruiter.com. Once again, ZipRecruiter.com. Sign up today, absolutely free, and put ZipRecruiter to work for you.